Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out. An inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So also must you be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only slightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. We are a little past halfway in our journey into ordinary time. We are on the 19th Sunday, and the last will be the 34th Sunday. And I always picture the ordinary time as going about our journey in the valley. The festive celebrations like Advent and Easter and Christmas and Lent and Lent, those are the peaks of our journey throughout the entire year. And of course, those festive celebrations, they have their own joy and wonder and magnificence. But the ordinary time is also special in a sense that we are taught by the Lord how to act and how to behave as citizens of the kingdom. These are the jewels of ordinary time. We find ourselves being taught by the Lord, little by little, along the way, instructing us on how to be children of God, how to be citizens of the kingdom. Last Sunday, we are reminded that to be a citizen of the kingdom, we must not attach ourselves to the things of this world. St. Paul would say in the second reading last Sunday, fix your eyes on the things that are above. What are the things that are above? Well, that's faith, hope, and love. Those are the things that we should be focusing on. And today, and today, dovetailing with what we have heard last Sunday, is now a reminder of the need for faith and hope. Those two things are related to each other. We need faith in order to hope. The reason why the servant in the parable in the gospel today is able to work, is able to do the master's bidding, is because that man has faith which guided his hope. Now, in the second reading today, Hebrews was not written by St. Paul. At least some of the scholars would say. But the letter to the Hebrews, it reminded us, what is faith? It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But there is a question, you know. You say, how does one decipher whether one is doing superstition and where one is really living from the heart of faith? There are many aspects in our religion, in our tradition, that look like superstition. See, our tradition, our faith, is not one of superstition. Our faith is reasonable. Why can we say our faith is reasonable? Because Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is the Logos of God. The Logos is the mind of God, the reason, Logos, from which we get the word logic. So therefore, if Jesus is the Logos of God, then at some point, there is reason to our faith. A long time ago, a few years ago, St. John Paul II wrote a wonderful encyclical called Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason. And in that encyclical, St. John Paul II said these marvelous words, faith and reason are the two wings by which we ascend to contemplate the face of God. Faith and reason, they come together like wings, and we ascend to contemplate the face of God. And so when we find ourselves living our faith just like an empty shell and relying on superstition, then that is not the faith that the scripture is talking about. A good example for this is, a few years ago, it was very trendy on Facebook, you know. In Facebook, you see there an entry in your wall, and says there's a picture of Mother Teresa of Saint Therese of Lisieux, and it says forward this to all of your contacts and you will receive blessing at the end of the day. That is superstition. That is not faith, you know. Or you do this much. I don't know, this much novena, and then you will receive what you're asking for. Now, I'm not demeaning novena. I love novenas, but to do that as like a formula, then that is not faith. Like I said, our faith is reasonable. There is reason to what we do. So what are we saying here? Well, Benedict XVI defined faith this way. Faith is the assent of the mind to an invisible truth. It's assent of the will. You will to have faith. You will to believe. It's an assent of the will to an invisible truth, to a truth that is not readily self-evident. But you will to believe. How is the will urged on to believe an invisible truth? Because of credible witnesses. We stand on the testimony of credible witnesses, and then after doing so, we will to believe. It does not matter. And for the most part, what we are looking at is not present to us, it's not visible to us. But because there are credible witnesses that testifies to the truth, and so we will now to believe what we are invited to believe. Now, this credible witnesses we see in the first reading. It says the Jews, our brothers, the ancient Jews, it said there that they continued to practice the Passover, which sustained them in their faith. And so what the first reading is saying is that it is in our tradition, the witness of our tradition, that we begin to nurture our faith. I mean, look at the history of the church. For 2,000 years, the church has survived all abuses, all scandals, and all attacks from the outside. We are still here. That's the testimony of tradition that is credible witness to the faith. What else? Well, there are the prophets. There are the doctors, the teachers of the church. And they spoke with candor. They spoke with authority. And their words ring through centuries and several ages until now. Those are credible witnesses, which says that the Spirit of God is alive. You know, the things that we do at Mass every time we come together. This is the Passover that the first reading was talking about. This is a credible witness which helps our will to believe an unseen truth. Now, how does one immerse oneself, or how does one learn and understand and live out all of this, the words and the voices of these credible witnesses, so that one can will to believe that which is hidden? Well, by immersing ourselves into the knowledge of all of these credible witnesses, if the prophets and the words of the gospel are credible witnesses that will help us to believe an unseen truth, so it behooves us to study the scripture, to read the scripture. Reading the scripture, understanding the word of God, and having the word of God internalized in our hearts helps our will to believe that which is hidden from us. That's one. What else? They're following the tradition of our brothers and sisters, the Jews, in the first reading, they celebrated the Passover constantly throughout the years and until now. Well, we also immerse ourselves in the new Passover. The Eucharist, the Mass, sustains us in our faith. The sacraments of the church sustain us in standing over that substance of faith which make us will to do the right thing before the Lord. And finally, what is that element that we need to do in order to stand on the strong grounds of faith? Our prayer. Our prayer. We need to pray. And I'm repeating myself over and over again. When we speak of constant prayer, regular prayer, it's simply lifting our hearts and minds to God. That's all it is. We lift up our hearts and minds to God in order to keep that conversation, that dialogue going.
When we do these things, my friends, brothers and sisters, then we are befriending. We are getting ourselves acquainted with these credible witnesses on whose testimony we can stand, so that in every invitation of the Lord to move forward to an uncharted horizon, we can say, but because you have lived this, because you have said this, because you have done this, I too will go the same way. We need credible witnesses, and those witnesses are found here in the church. When we come together like this, we become also, as the body of Christ, that credible witness which helps every single one of us in moving forward into our faith. I remember when I was discerning whether I should enter the seminary or not. It took me several years. It took me about two years before I said yes. And of course, there are many, many confirmations to my calling. But one of the stronger voices in my decision, in my willing to enter the seminary, was the witness of the priests and religious women who walked with me. Their testimony helped me. My daily going to Mass and adoration helped me. Of course, nothing was spelled out before me. Nothing, and no one told me that, Leo, at the seminary, your life will be this, 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 this. No. It was a great unknown. But because of the testimony of all of the men and women that walked with me, the testimony of the church, and the testimony of the sacraments, my will was strengthened to say, yes, I will do this. I will take the jump. When we stand on the grounds of faith, reinforced and strengthened by credible witnesses, our lives will be filled with hope. We need faith in order to hope. And in these times, brothers and sisters, we need this. And so, our liturgy today invites us and is reminding us once again to go back to the basics. Pray that the Lord will give us the faith in order to move on to those uncharted territories in which He is inviting us. Then and only then, when we embrace our faith and stand on the witnesses of the people who had gone before us, then and only then we can hope. And hoping, we become light unto the nations, which the Lord has called every one of us, His baptized children, to be witnesses unto the end of the world. Amen.